Last week, members of the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School Board voiced support for Superintendent Nia Hamblett after a News and Observer report that found numerous issues with her PhD dissertation at William & Mary, including some passages seemingly pulled verbatim from other sources without proper quotation. Hamblett, for her part, issued a statement before the report even came out, acknowledging unintentional citation issues, but also referring to the report as undue scrutiny. Hamblett came on 97.9 The Hill yesterday during News on the Hill with Andrew Stuckey. Here's what she had to say when asked what her message would be to students writing their own papers in the district.
What I would share with English students or students who are working through similar processes, I would share with them that it's really important to go through the review process, which I did. I would share with our students the importance of having a number of other people check behind their work to help them, you know, find citation errors or, you know, anything else that, you know, they might face in their writing process, which I did. And then I would just tell our students that, you know, there are times when you go through a writing process and go through life where you make mistakes, and I tell my children, my own children all the time, you don't win or lose. It depends on what you learned from the process that you went through. And so I think it's really important for our students to know that what the News and Observer printed is a serious allegation. And if the students are experiencing something where they need help with their writing process, they are to look for that help from their teachers and from their peers. And I hope that none of our students have to be accused of things that I've been accused of. I have decided to have the dissertation reviewed yet again. And if there are multiple things that need to be corrected, I'm happy to do that for my own peace of mind, not because someone chose to look for something.
That's Chapel Hill Carrboro Superintendent Nia Hamblett speaking there. Part of a much longer conversation. You can listen to the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. Staying in writing news, as it happens, the town of Chapel Hill recently appointed its new poet laureate, Cortland Gilliam, a poet with UNC ties and a history of local activism and advocacy. With more on him, 97.9 The Hill's Brianna Atkinson.
It's easy to forget. It's easy to settle into rhythm and routine, revel in complacency, and backfloat from preoccupation to distraction.
Poet Cortland Gilliam wears a few different hats. An artist, graduate student, educator, and now the town of Chapel Hill's second ever poet laureate.
For me, it's helpful to be engaged in community and in space, and that requires sometimes that you go outside of the bounds of, you know, whatever your specific role is.
Gilliam's love of poetry blossomed while he was an undergraduate student at UNC. There he went to open mics and listened to performances from C.J. Suit, the town's first poet laureate.
And I saw him perform as someone who was just kind of coming into their, you know, poetic voice, literary voice, or what have you. And that had a lasting impression on me. You know, it was really in undergrad that I think I started to write seriously. And again, part of that was seeing, you know, different representations of Black creatives and Black writers like CJ.
In 2019, Gilliam co-led an exhibition with a group of Black artists at UNC. Named Black Out Loud, the exhibition showcased the experiences of Black students at a historically white institution.
We were really building community amongst these, you know, this very small collective of Black creatives on campus and taking up space in a cool way. So yeah, that really opened my eyes to kind of how I can, you know, be in community while using kind of my creative bent.
Gilliam is currently an education graduate student at UNC, studying cultural studies and literacies. He also serves as a co-chair for the Marion Cheek Jackson Center, an organization that preserves the history of Black neighborhoods in Chapel Hill. He says he sees poetry as a vehicle to engage communities and to share experiences that reflect the times.
It's a tool to kind of channel voices or to kind of synthesize emotions and feeling around different social events, happenings, you know, phenomena, whatever, and kind of give it back to the world in a way that kind of sheds a distinct kind of lighting on an issue or something.
This poetic activism is something Gilliam wants to bring to his new role as the town's poet laureate.
The work that kind of provokes something within someone, whatever that something is, you know, it's like the goal is for people to kind of feel and reflect and to really absorb the words. And in that absorption then comes changed action. And I think that somewhere along the way, we always remember that our lives are instruments of creation, and that we each have a distinct harmonizing note to contribute to its song.
Gilliam will be the Town of Chapel Hill's Poet Laureate until December 2024. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brianna Atkinson.
And finally, some news for drivers in Chapel Hill. Westbound traffic on Estes Drive is already blocked for a stretch between Franklin Street and MLK. Starting next week, though, that stretch is going to expand. Beginning Monday the 30th, westbound traffic will also be blocked from Somerset Drive over to MLK Boulevard as work continues on the Estes Drive connectivity project. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Olmaz Jewelers. UNC men's basketball is back on the court tonight on the road at Syracuse. Both teams in a five-way tie for third in the ACC with a 6-3 conference record. Though for Syracuse, all six of their conference wins have come against teams at the bottom of the standings. Meanwhile, Carolina heads into the game on a three-game winning streak, but they've still only won once on the road this season. The Tar Heels do have the reigning ACC Player of the Week. Armando Bacot earned that honor yesterday for the third time this season after breaking multiple UNC career records and leading Carolina to a pair of wins. Tonight's game tips off at 9. We'll have it all for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, starting at 7:30 with Countdown to Tip-Off. UNC women's basketball is off tonight, but the Tar Heels got good news yesterday. They are up two spots to number 15 in this week's AP poll. Carolina's riding a five-game winning streak, and they're back in action Thursday on the road at Pitt. Speaking of rankings, UNC men's lacrosse checked in at number 19 and inside lacrosse's preseason top 20. Virginia's your number one. Duke came in at number 8. Carolina's season starts February 10th at home against Mercer. And UNC baseball came in at number 17 in Baseball America's preseason poll, also out this week. Their season also starts next month. Single game tickets go on sale Friday. And there is a lot of excitement around the Diamond Heels this year, in part because of one sophomore sensation who may be a future number one draft pick. 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe takes a closer look at Vance Honeycutt.
UNC sophomore outfielder Vance Honeycutt is one of the most exciting athletes on campus. But it wasn't always supposed to be that way, because the Vance Honeycutt that thrilled Diamond Heels fans last summer was not the same person initially eyed by Carolina scouts. Unfortunately, the time when Honeycutt came into his own in high school coincided with the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. But while Carolina's recruitment of Honeycutt went on hiatus, the reports head coach Scott Forbes got in the interim were more than promising.
He got bigger, he got stronger, he got faster. So that was kind of, we couldn't see him because of COVID. We weren't allowed to go out and watch, or we would have seen it for ourselves. But that was when I'd heard, like, okay, this kid's, you know, might be better than we originally thought he was going to be. We thought he was going to be a utility player that was athletic, that was a multi-sport guy, that once he got here, he had a chance to be pretty good.
A potential first-round draft pick as a utility player? It seems dubious in retrospect. But once he arrived in Chapel Hill, Honeycutt put those thoughts to bed immediately, clubbing 3 home runs in his first 2 games as a Tar Heel. His and the team's finest moments came in the season's home stretch. Over the final 23 games, Honeycutt hit 15 home runs in just 82 at-bats, leading a summer surge which saw Carolina win the ACC tournament. Honeycutt was named tournament MVP after bashing 2 more home runs in the championship game against NC State. For the North Carolina native who grew up a UNC fan, it was quite the week.
We came in playing well, so we knew we had a chance, and we knew we needed to play well if we wanted to potentially host a regional. But, you know, we came out and I think we swung it well the entire weekend. We pitched it well the entire weekend, and it was definitely good being state at the end, though.
Honeycutt's postseason heroics helped Carolina host both an NCAA tournament regional and super regional, which had been almost unthinkable when the team was slumping to a 23-17 record in late April. But UNC wouldn't quite make it to Omaha, falling to Arkansas in 2 games in the super regional, with the final loss coming in walk-off fashion. For Forbes, who was just in his second season as head coach, the loss still stings.
I'm one of those people that hates losing probably more than I like winning. So I can't say that I'm over it. You have to deal with it. But you want to try to let it help you get back to that same game and then win that game. But it's not easy to get to Omaha. And I want to be back in that game. And I'll take being in that game every single year. And I'll deal with the outcome as it happens.
Forbes' philosophy bears a stark resemblance to that of his sophomore center fielder, who is already drawing accolades from national publications bewitched by his five-tool talent. Even during his season-altering hot streak, Honeycutt said his ability to stay grounded was what kept his bat humming.
I think if you think about that stuff, you know, it's just not going to end well for you. But you just kind of have to be present, you know, every pitch and in the box. I mean, we were talking about it the other day in our meeting. You know, if you're not focused on this present pitch, you're thinking about the last pitch or whatever it is, you're not ready for that one. And then, you know, you look back or then you look ahead and there you are 0-2 or maybe even back in the dugout.
Maybe it's that maturity beyond the years of the 19-year-old that's why he's seen as a contender for the number one pick in the 2024 MLB draft. Or maybe it's his ability to hit 400-foot home runs. Those help too. Carolina sits at number 12 in D1 baseball's preseason rankings, with similar spots in polls from other publications. The 2023 season is already different from 2022 in that respect, when Carolina was not ranked at all in the preseason. It's safe to say Honeycutt and the Diamond Heels won't be sneaking up on anyone come springtime.
You know, we talk about it all the time. It doesn't matter where we are. You're going to have to win games. And, you know, last year we had the kind of mystery about us. But this year, I mean, that's not an option. You know, people are aware of us. So at the end of the day, we still have to come out and, you know, play well and win big games. And I think we're going to be an exciting team. We're going to win a lot of ball games.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
And finally, Carolina football confirmed reports yesterday they have officially named Jason Jones as cornerbacks coach, replacing Dre Bly. Jones spent the last 3 years at Indiana, including 1 year with Charlton Warren, who's now co-defensive coordinator at UNC.